Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome in from spring training. Yes, he's down there in Bradenton, FLA. Fan spring training coverage is brought to you by PNC Bank and Century 3 Chevrolet. It is Chris Mack. Chris, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, gents. How are you?
We are fabulous. Wonderful. Wow, listen to that. Line is real crisp and clear. Okay, what did you learn yesterday at spring training?
I learned that presumably if there were a roof on PNC Park, Clint Hurdle thinks it'll be blown off when they win a World Series someday and that he thinks he'll be here for it. So that was, I think I said it the other day to you guys. There's just this quiet confidence that's sitting in the room right now, which probably surprises most of us given they lost, you know, the two faces of
the
franchise.
Is it manufactured or real?
It's a certain amount of it has to be manufactured, right? I mean, Clint's always going to come off as a guy who's not manufactured, but is just genuinely that effusively positive, right? But you can't walk in and look at what you've lost, despite, you know, the pieces that you may have added, and think that you legitimately have this shot. If they do believe it and they confidently believe in themselves, hey, bully on you. Good job, boys. We, you know, the positive reinforcement wherever you're getting it, it is working. But that to me is just that's Clint doing what Clint does, trying to, you know, build up the morale in the room, and it seems to be working.
I was just going to say, so I mean, if you're going to make a checklist of all the stuff he does good and all the stuff that he doesn't do good, doing the stuff that's good is getting guys to believe in themselves and probably getting the most out of them. And this team's just young enough to actually not believe it, but I'm saying be kind of refreshing. You know, if it was the same group, you know, a lot of times they heard it already and you can't really go back that way, or they're too many veterans, they don't buy it. But this group is young enough to maybe buy into what Clint Hurdle's saying.
Yeah, I'll be curious, Josh, to see what the reaction is like and what the attitude, I guess, is like when Jay Hay and David Freese and, you know, Marte and Polanco get in here. And are they buying into it the same way that the guys that are here already are buying into it, you know, especially Harrison? That's going to be, I think, the most interesting conversation we have in the next couple of days.
Chris, I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but when Clint Hurdle ran down the lineup, you know, he was talking about moving on beyond McCutcheon. He mentioned, you know, Colin Moran, another lefty in the lineup. And then the first guy that he actually mentioned was Adam Frazier as part of the outfield. Does that mean, are we to read into this that Frazier is the odds-on favorite to be the starter in left field?
It strikes me that way, yeah. It strikes me that Frazier is sort of the odds-on 1A to get most of the reps in left field, and that if Luplo can – and well, Rodriguez is going to be on the roster anyway. But if Luplo can prove himself ready to handle some responsibility out there as well, maybe he's in a little bit of a race for fourth outfielder with Daniel Nava, because Clint was pretty clear that Nava and Osuna probably won't be starting much in left field. Then perhaps Luplo gets into the mix out there as well. But, yeah, I think they like Frazier's bat. They like him at the top of the order because, let's be honest, they don't have a prototypical leadoff hitter on this team, and they can plug him in there at the top and hope that he gets on base the way he did for stretches last year.
I remember Colin brought this up. I think it was fairly early on last year when Osuna first came up about, like, well, you know, why not third base for this guy? And then they yeah. I don't know if reluctantly in the offseason, and I think there was an injury involved. He didn't get much work. But now they got Freeze, and now they got Colin Moran. So they got an obvious platoon split there. But where does Osuna fit in? All over the diamond or in any particular spot?
I think it's going to be tough for him because, you know, defensively – where does defensively he works nice at first base. Okay, well, you're not going to give Josh Bell too many days down, I wouldn't think. We saw that he was able to handle the workload last year at first base, and he's improved defensively over there. Clint actually mentioned yesterday when I asked him about Osuna and left field, he said, you know, third base is probably the best possible. He didn't say best possible spot, but he said that's probably more realistic for him. But as you pointed out, if it's Moran and Freeze getting most of the reps over at third, I don't know how Osuna fits in. And I don't know, you know, I asked Clint about bench pieces and, you know, how they they've got so many bullpen arms in here this spring too. Do they go with a deeper bullpen, and how does that adjust the bench? And he wants versatility on his bench. You know, this organization has a thing for the guys who can play 3-4 different positions. So I don't know if Osuna's glove fits in, if he starts the year down at Indy.
Chris Mack joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. He's on the hotline. He's in Bradenton, FLA. By the way, follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan for all things from spring training. It's driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Is Joe Musgrove in the rotation out of necessity, or is Joe Musgrove a guy who they honestly feel like they could stretch out, he could be a good starter, he can help this National League rotation?
I think they honestly believe he'll be in there because he'll be better than the other options, which would be, what, Glasnow and Brault and maybe Nick Kingham. It sounded to me yesterday, Clint talked about how, you know, Joey Cora, third base coach, his brother Alex was in Houston last year as one of the coaches there, and it sounded like they got a lot of good feedback on the guys they got in the Astros deal from the Cora brothers, and it sounds like they really like Joe Musgrove. And Musgrove, for what it's worth, late 16 and early 17, was working well in the Astros rotation. It's just when his slider's on, he pitches well. When his slider's not on, he doesn't pitch well because his fastball, when he's working from the rotation, isn't, you know, it's not going to steam by anybody. It's like a 93-ish fastball. So he's going to be in there, I think. It sounds like Tyler Glasnow is going to have to figure out a way to make this team out of spring training in the bullpen. That's really, I mean, that's what struck me most about the starting pitching talk yesterday, is that they seem to have the five in mind that they want in the rotation, and that if Glasnow is going to do anything, it's going to be work out of the bullpen as a long arm early.
Sean Rodriguez is now healthy, 100% healthy. Where do you see him mostly this year? I know he's kind of has that Josh Harrison, I could play anywhere position, but where do you see him mostly?
I mean, we talked about the left field thing. I think that makes sense. He is going to be, I mean, it's a cop-out to say it, Josh, but he's going to be everywhere. Because if Max Moroff is your primary shortstop, I mean, is that a bat that works off the bench? So Rodriguez can be, you know, your backup shortstop. He can be your third option at second base. He can, you know, fill in one of the corner outfield spots. I think he's going to be everywhere, to be honest. But he is fully healthy. I mean, obviously the offseason this year was better than the offseason last year.
Chris, is there any chance? Now, I know you talked to Tyler Glasnow the other day, and he just said, you know, his goal is to make the major league roster. He doesn't want to go back to AAA. Yeah. I'm sure the Pirates don't want to send him back to AAA. With a guy that can throw as hard as he does, I don't know, is there any chance at all that he could ever become a, you know, if he just went straight fastball and used one of his other pitches, you would think he could become a bullpen guy. But his control is just, it's off the charts in a bad way. Is there any chance at all you think that they could work with him and turn him into that kind of, because he has the kind of stuff where he could be a closer?
I think, yeah, eventually down the line, maybe, but you pointed out the control issues, and they brought in a bunch of guys, or I should say a bunch, but they brought in a bunch of bullpen arms, back end of the bullpen arms in some cases, and back end of the bullpen arms that can throw particularly hard in Mike Feliz and Kyle Crick, you know, guys that can push the fastball into the upper 90s and are similar. You know, Kyle Crick is almost, you know, just a shorter, around the same age, maybe a little older, shorter version of Tyler Glasnow. He was a starter, was a high draft pick, potential, you know, keystone of a rotation kind of guy, and it didn't work out in San Francisco for him in that regard, and they ended up throwing him in the bullpen. Yeah, Glasnow could be that as well, I think, but he's just got to control things. I mean, the one pitch of his I videoed yesterday in the bullpen session is one that skipped away and smacked up off the fence. I mean, he's, and the confidence with him, I think, is the biggest issue. It's a mental thing where he's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just been beaten down so much in the last year and a half at the major league level that he can't mentally get there, but he's got to figure it out soon. He's running out of time.
Yeah, like, let's stop the ride for a minute here. Talking about Tyler Glasnow being a back-end bullpen guy, talking about Tyler Glasnow being a middle relief guy, talking about Tyler Glasnow fighting back and being part of the rotation. I'll tell you where I go into this season. If you get one inning out of Tyler Glasnow at the major league level, it is a bonus. And I think, I don't know if that's fair or unfair, but that's where I rest now with Tyler Glasnow. I see him as a lost cause until he proves otherwise.
I mean, how else can you look at it, to be totally honest? I mean, he could even come into spring training games and blow guys away working out of the bullpen, if that's how he works. You know, if they try to give him multiple innings, we'll see. Spring training, it's hard to take away a lot from where a guy works in the middle of the game. But, yeah, he could blow guys away in spring, and none of it's going to matter. If he goes to Indy for a couple of weeks, none of it's going to matter until he comes up to the major league level and shows that he can get guys out up here. And we still haven't seen that.
Who makes it up here first, Austin Meadows or Kingham?
I'll say Kingham, just because you never know when you're going to need another starting pitcher. And I think they're going to try and give Meadows as much, maybe not, well, yeah, probably a full year down in Indy this year, if not, you know, a September call-up. Because, you know, last year's essentially, I know he played 70 games in Indy or whatever it was, but he hit 250 down there. And for the first month and a half, couldn't get it together at AAA. So I think they give him as much of a full season down in Indy, Meadows, as they can this year. And, you know, unfortunately, they're going to piecemeal together that left field position.
Well, since we just mentioned Tyler Glass now, the next man up in that discussion is Mitch Keller. And I know I'm not going to be able to help myself. I'm going to go out of my way to make sure I watch this guy. And have you had any impressions of him yet?
No, haven't seen him throw yet. He's not working, in with guys yet. And I don't know if he's scheduled today or not. I should walk back in the clubhouse and look at the schedule to see who's throwing.
Because he is one of the non-roster guys, right?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Like the young guys that they invite in to kind of get them acclimated, like they've done over the years with. Well, Meadows was one of those guys. Kevin Newman, Brault, and Trevor Williams were like 2 or 3 years ago, even.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'll keep an eye out for it, but I don't know if how harshly they're going to critique him, given that they're still looking at him as probably a late 19 arrival, 2019 September call-up or whatever it may be.
Last thing for you, Chris Mack in Bradenton, FLA, at Pirate City. You got about 30 seconds left. How do you anticipate Jordy Mercer comports himself as a leader, as a guy who just kind of goes about his business? How do you think he'll play it this year? Off the field, I'm saying, or in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because he's one of those guys. I know I mentioned Freeze and Harrison earlier, but that's a good point. He's a guy who could swing the clubhouse one way or another. You know, talk about a thermometer or a thermostat. I think he's going to be a pro about it and handle himself well. He always has in the past, but you also get the sense with Jordy sometimes that if he's frustrated, he's going to let it be known. So if there's any frustrations to let out at all, he's one of those guys we'll hear it from.
Chris Mack, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the mitts of popping and the batting practice sessions, and then enjoy the seagulls and the barbecue and all that sort of Sarasota stuff.
I will, and also enjoy trolling on Colony's Twitter account to see how his and Linda's lobster dinner went.
That is a discussion point before the end of the show. Thank you for the segue, Pompey Annie. We'll talk soon.
And if you're looking for lobster,
go down to Woolies.
Go to Colony's house.
$16.99 a pound. Thank you, Chris. We'll talk soon.
See you, boys.
Yeah,
thank you.
That is, we're going to talk about that in short order, Jim. Do you know that before the end of the show?
I did not know that.
We have not got an update.
On. What? We should get the fanfare. Breaking news.
I don't feel like bringing it up. It takes too long.
Drew Hutchinson has signed with the Phillies.
Oh!
Minor league deal.
Whoa. The Phillies. That should offset their Super Bowl victory.
yeah, if they ride it after winning, what are they going to do when they see him?
Oh, Drew Hutchinson. Man. All right, coming up next, we get back into the hockey talk and Jim and his lobster.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.